following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. This is a special program today. We're actually stretching it to 2.5 hours, specifically because the first segment, we're dedicating an hour and a half to the continuation of our discussion on the acquisition of strength and conditioning. And we have the two regular panelists on the show with me at this time. We have Wade Johnson and Rob Regish. How you doing, Wade?
Hey, how's it going? Glad to be here again.
Fantastic. And Rob, you there? Rob, it sounds like you're listening to the radio in the background. You may have to turn the mic speakers down.
Okay, I will. How you doing, Carl? Wade, it's a pleasure.
Very good, very good. All right, so anyway, before we get started, it looks like we have to wish Matt Ragudo a happy birthday tomorrow. It's 12:30 a.m. in Japan where he lives. So he's probably not going to be able to listen to the show live, as he pointed out. However, I'm sure he'll listen to the show tomorrow. Happy birthday, Matt. And then, of course, he pays homage to Rob Regish and talking about he's using the Blueprint program and having great success with it. So there you go. Kudos to you, Rob.
Thank you. I'm so grateful. So many people are, getting great gains.
Yeah, it really is good. Anyway, before we get started, we have to talk. Here's what we're going to cover today. First of all, we're going to a continuation of the discussion from last week. Number two, we're going to be examining an obscure, pretty much unknown lift that is sure to build massive strength, especially in the posterior chain. And Wade will be taking us through that. It's known as the Ox Lift. We're also going to be spotlighting a listener who, interestingly enough, Wade actually knows of, and I didn't realize that. So we'll have some fun with Sean Bellin on the show a little bit later, about half hour into this this segment. But before we get started, Wade was sharing with me a little while ago off the air that he is dieting down. Why are you dieting down right now, Wade?
Well, I'm, I'm just being so big, and this year I turned 46. It's like, okay, it's time for me to, to take off some size and think about the benefits health-wise. Genetically, I'm a large person. It's not like I'm going to be 365 one year, and then in a couple of years you'll see me at 220. That's never going to happen. And but it's time for me to think about that, and I had some other goals. When I competed earlier this year, I totaled to 2,400 pounds and did it as a master, and that was lifetime for me. That's the thing. That's the numbers I had been shooting for my entire career. And so instead of going, well, let's put on 10 more pounds of body weight and shoot for 2,500, it's like, why don't I take off some weight and try to total elite, especially as I continue to get older, and then start making my way back into the world of strongman and Olympic lifting, which I used to do and really enjoy. And being at that lighter body weight will help me, be a little more mobile and athletic. So that's the first reason why.
Now, but there's also there's a young fella in your gym, and I look, you don't ever embellish people because you're used to being around strong people, but you told me that this guy is special, and you emphasize, Carl, I'm not talking about somebody who's just strong, but this kid is special. Talk about this fella in your gym.
Well, when I say special, and I've told him this is, I'm not talking behind this young man's back. To give you some brief history, his father and I go back into my beginnings in the sport, and he and I had competed at different meets together, so on and so forth, and has been a really, really good friend. And he needed a gym, and I just said, well, why don't, you're right here in the same town, just have him come train at my place. And he has always, he's a state champion wrestler in high school. And I'm guessing, this is a guess, he's about 6'4", 6'5", 310 pounds. And he's not a, this is not a fat guy. This is a big, big human being. And I told him specifically that his potential was immense. And, but the problem with potential is, you know, you've gotta bring it. You've gotta be able to produce. And, so he's training in the gym and he uses some different training methods. And I've really tried to help him and steer him in a couple of directions that I thought might be helpful. And he's very resistant. And, so the motivation has doubled, so to speak, because, I'm going to diet down to 308, which is where he wants to compete. And sometime next year, he and I are going to lock horns and we'll see, you know, is it going to be the youngster or the old guy that comes out on top?
Oh, this is going to be great. I, you know what? We need to cover this on the show. We absolutely do. I mean, so you, as you get closer, you need to let me know where the meet is going to be and so on and so forth. And we may even want to have this fella on the show and, you know,
sure,
as a listener spotlight in the near future too, to kind of build the momentum about this. This is going to be fun. Now, how much do you have to lose to get down to 308, Wade?
The last time I weighed in, which I rarely, rarely check, the last time I weighed in, my guys competed, I want to say the 1st of September in Alabama, and I got on the meat scale and I was 331, which is down. 2008, I was 365 pounds.
Right, right. So you're, so you're getting lighter and getting stronger. That's really a good thing.
Well, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see as another 20 pounds comes off. We'll, you know, we'll see where I am. But I got into a pair of briefs in the squat for the first time this week. First time I've been in gear probably in about 4 months. And I was surprised at how, you know, how good I felt. So we'll see.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Rob Regish, how are you, Rob?
Doing terrific. How about you, Carl?
Good, good. So now the blueprint 2.0 and 3.0 continue to gain momentum in emails that you've sent to me. You're working very, very hard to, keep promoting the success, not the book, but the success that your users are having, with the program. And I believe that you're going to be doing something unique over at Anabolic Minds very shortly, which is where they sponsor the Superhuman Radio Forum as well, correct?
Yeah, I'm really excited to be over there, and back. It's been, you know, I've been a member over there, I want to say, since maybe 2004, 2005. But I'm working on some brand new stuff that I'm hoping to bring to the table, as well as, you know, taking people that are using both 2.0 and 3.0 now and continuing to just, you know, this success is rolling in from all over the world, Australia, Japan, Bahrain, the United States. It's a little overwhelming, but it's just, it's fantastic
now,
stuff.
Now, I know your story, as many people do, because you like I, am pretty much an open book to people. You share your wounds, you share your successes and everything openly with people. Did you ever think in your wildest dreams that when you sat down and thought, I'm going to make this major investment in time to author this, did you, first of all, did you have self-doubt? Gee, really, who am I to be putting this together?
You know, that's an interesting story. The short answer is, no, I never thought that it would, you know, benefit this many people.
Yeah.
Did I have self-doubt? No. Why? I had done it. I had lived it. And I knew that if I could articulate what I had learned, I could share that with people and they too could make tremendous progress. I put on almost 100 pounds of mostly solid body weight, starting with a very ectomorphic frame. So that was my frame of reference. And I knew deep down that I had it. The only question was, could I convey that over the internet and across the world?
Yeah, okay. All right, and so anything new going on with you? You have any plans on doing any type of seminars or anything like that?
Seminars, no, I am working on something brand new. It is, it will be, if everything pans out as I expect, it will be the pinnacle of both, of all of my works. You could think of it as the best of 2.0 and 3.0, and it will get people results even faster than what they are realizing now.
Oh, very good. Okay, so you're building on your success. And obviously a lot of that comes from the feedback you're getting from the people who are using the program, correct?
Yeah, that and I can't sit still. I need a new project.
He can't sit still. I think I got a lot of emails last week from people. The lion's share of them, and Wade, you may have gotten this too. People were astounded and pleasantly surprised that Wade Johnson does not pay attention to hormone levels whatsoever. He just pays attention to eating lots of steak and training hard. And I think that, you know, no, I can't, you know what, some of us are so very cerebral. Rob and I would say, are very cerebral about this, and probably that's why I struggle, because maybe I'm too cerebral. I need to start to be more, slightly more like Wade is, and not worry about, you know, did I take this supplement today? I wonder what my testosterone levels are, and just go in and do the work. You know, Wade, early on when you first started training, did you pay attention to any of that stuff, or have you never been caught up in that?
Well, I've always supplemented because I felt like that would be important, and because I'm drug free, I felt like I really had to pay attention to that, just because I've always had a really busy schedule. I work a couple of jobs. I generally have always had a couple of things going on. So between the two situations working and then my training regimen, I knew I had to do things that would help me recover and just, you know, keep me well and keep me healthy. So I've always tried to do that, but it's like, I wouldn't even know, honestly, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm really stupid, but I have no idea even what a panel, you know, a hormone panel, what would even go into that. I really don't. And basically for me, what my success has been is finding things that work and then staying consistent, you know, and I try to eat consistently. I try to eat a certain amount of things, a certain type of things, but I don't get really scientific because I tend to bog down in that versus the things that I feel like are important. It's like, all right, instead of freaking out about what you're eating, eat and let's move on and then let's get the training done. I have a plan, you know, but if I don't have every weight planned out, you know, if I go in and I feel really good, I'll bump it up a notch. And, you know, that's where the reactive thing comes into my training. And if I don't feel as good, you know, then I'll lighten it up a little bit. But the idea is to make sure I get plenty to eat, plenty to drink, and train. It's very, very basic.
Yeah, okay. Here's what we have to do. We have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we've got questions that I'm going to read off, and we're going to answer those questions and as best as we can, and then take the dialogue from there. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Later in the show, after the second installment of the roundtable discussion on the acquisition of strength and conditioning, I'm going to have two young ladies on who just posted a study on the benefits of farm-to-table nutritional protocols like we've promoted here on the show for years now. It's more than just the benefit of supporting your local farmer. There are lots of health benefits. We're going to be talking about that later at the 1 o'clock hour on Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies, and no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 GLP-1 long R3, GHRP-6, GHRP-2, melanotan-2, mechanical growth factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like triptorelin or follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to, is 6-Oxoprogesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We are building a superhuman army of healthy, strong individuals. You want to flip the government the middle finger? Live longer. My guest this hour and a half, Coach Wade Johnson and Rob Regish, author of The Blueprint. A little bit later in the show, we're going to have a listener on to continue the discussion about the acquisition of strength and conditioning, a guy who knows something about strength as well, Sean Bellin. And then at the 1 o'clock hour, we're going to have two young ladies on the show who have just written a study that shows that farm-to-table is the way to go. I've been doing it for years now. Okay, here's a good question. This one, actually, I've thought about myself from time to time. And I have to say that this one comes from a gentleman who shall remain named as Mr. X, and you know who you are. But he actually is an advocate of the superhuman lifestyle, but he makes his living inside of the pharmaceutical industry, and so he has to keep his job protected, and I respect that. When you see these guys who are training, and I'm going to start with you, Rob, on this one first. You see these guys that are doing the bench press, for instance, and you see them flailing their legs, bouncing their legs with each rep, biting their lip, shaking and shifting their head, squirming in the seat, and they look like they're expending so much energy. First of all, is this a lack of control, do you believe, in the subconscious or the unconscious portion of the mind? And what is actually taking place when this kind of stuff goes on?
You know, it's funny you bring this up, Carl. I saw it yesterday in the gym. A lot of times, I believe it goes back to ego. Never having had the opportunity to be taught the right way. So when you're there on the spot, I'm not sure, Wade, how you handle this, but, in my opinion, lead by example. And more importantly, show them, teach them the benefit of doing things the right way. Meaning, look, you make a few small changes, man, you're going to be pushing more weight. And I think people see the value in that. I know the people that I've coached have.
Okay, Wade, why don't you go ahead and respond to that, what your opinion of this flailing, this bouncing of the legs and so on, and then I'm going to take the discussion a little bit further.
I got to agree with Rob. I think it's one of those things where people, especially bench press, everybody does it, everybody knows it, and it's one of the easier lifts, I think, to learn and do at to a certain level. But I think it's one of those things where, like Rob said, there's just an ignorance of what, you know, the proper form is and how to stay tight, and that you start changing leverages as you move your feet and then expending the energy. We go through it all the time. And I've got clients that I've told, you know, once you learn, you know, how to keep your feet still, once you learn how to keep that tightness, regardless of how much stronger you get over the next few sessions, you're going to be able to do more weight because your form is going to be solid. So I agree with Rob 100%.
Okay, now let me take this step further. What if this person, one of these people, says to you, I can't help it. You don't understand. When I am struggling with the weight, I am just, you know, wriggling around just trying to get the weight up. Is it possible that these people who do this, are actually having some sort of peripheral nervous system activity that is a result of their either anxiety / panic / struggle with the weight?
Now, I think it's possible to answer your question, Carl, but it's much more likely in my mind that they are creatures of habit, and it gets back to what we talked about, the past episode. They're continuing to do what they've been doing, and unfortunately, it's hurting and not helping them.
Wade, go ahead. You have a
I agree. I do have a gentleman in the gym. No question, there's some anxiety that goes on, and he really has a tendency to overthink things. So, as a coach, what I have to do is, even during his set, is talk him through it and continuously remind him that hey, you know, you got to keep your hands still, keep your feet locked, keep your elbows in. But I think, by and large, like Rob said, people, by and large, were creatures of habit. We learn something and then we'll continue to do it until it no longer works or we learn a better way. And I have a real simple philosophy in the gym. Never tell me what you won't do. Show me that you can't. And when you show me that you can't, then it's incumbent upon me as the coach to find a pathway to make you successful. A lot of people will say, I can't help it. No, you can, but you won't. And I think that's the majority. I think there's a few people out there, like you said, that a nervous response or anxiety, I think that is true. But I think that's more the exception than the rule.
You know, I can't help but think about a lifter that I have a funny feeling you know, Wade, because he competed in the Southeast region quite a bit. He's from Louisville, Kentucky. I'm not comparing him to the person who flails his legs, but somebody who, when they did the bench press, there was something unorthodox about the way he did it. He shook violently. His name was Dwayne Neely.
Oh, I know Dwayne well.
Do you remember when I watched him bench 700 pounds one day, and with a shirt. I watched him bench 700, and I thought, my God, this guy's going to get killed. And somebody said, no, he always shakes like that.
Always. I saw Dwayne bench at a meet for the first time in 1997. And he's lifted at several meets that I've ran, and I've seen him around numerous times. And that's just his thing. I would make it much akin to like a conventional puller. You'll see it, both styles of pull, where they get about halfway up and they shake violently until they, you know, then all of a sudden they lock out and there's, you know, rock solid. That's exactly how Dwayne benches.
And it's scary watching him bench because you think, oh my God, this guy's going to drop the weight. And and you know what that is, in my humble opinion, the central nervous system is firing nerves that don't normally make inroads into the muscles. These are kind of like overdrive, if you will. And this pulsating effect is actually the recruitment of muscle fiber that doesn't generally get called to action.
And that's what the pulsating effect is when you see these guys who do that, like the guy who's pulling it at the top. You see him just violently shaking, but it's clear that he keeps moving. He's not stalling. You know what I mean?
I have an interesting question about this guy that may lead to an observation. Is his sticking point, does it happen to be in the middle?
Dwayne? I don't think he had a sticking point.
it's one of those things where, because I know where you're headed with this, and it's one of those things that I think that he has done, and he's not corrected whatever the issue is, but he's so stinking strong. I mean, now this is a country boy strong.
And he's a little guy. I mean, he's, what is he, 5'8", maybe?
If he's that.
Right.
You know? Now, he's a fire plug. This guy is built like a tree trunk.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, I'm sure there's some stability issues, much like you would see with, even people that when they set up in the squat, you'll see them shake violently until they can tighten everything up. I'm sure it's more along those lines, but he's successful, so it's really hard to argue with him.
Yeah, that's for sure. That is for sure. But anyway, okay, so Rob, what were you going to say? If that was his sticking point, he needed to train in that area more? Is that what you're thinking?
That's part of it, but specifically where I was going with it was, and I see this over and over, and I myself do this, when I hit or come up upon a sticking point, the body and the brain both seem to, give you that extra little bit of gas, and you're calling upon muscle groups to fire simultaneously at a rate that they're not used to and at a speed that they're not used to, and that therefore leads to that type of shaking.
Yeah.
If you haven't worked on that sticking point, I see that over and over. They'll shake like a leaf. And then, boom, it gets real smooth.
Well, all I can say is if that's Dwayne's problem and he works on that sticking point, he's probably got a 900-pound bench press at 5'8".
So. Oh, he is a freak. He is definitely a freak.
And you know what the funny thing is? The last competition I saw him at, I talked to him. He's the nicest, mellowest guy I've ever met in my life, right? Doesn't talk, very unassuming. And he said to me, I really haven't been training much. He goes, but I wanted to do this competition because it was like $500 for the bench, $500 for the squat, and $500 for the deadlift. And he came in to do the bench, and he goes, I came in because of the prize money. And he's like, I haven't been training. He put up 700 pounds like it was nothing.
Oh yeah, he is at like for years back in '97, he was benching over 500 pounds.
Yeah, really great guy. But anyway, he comes to mind. Okay, let's take this just one step further before the break, and we have Sean Bellin on the show with us. I see guys now. Obviously, you're supposed to plant your feet, and they tell you all the time when you're doing the bench press, the press starts from your feet. I have a hard time with that notion because I really can't plant my feet if my butt and my back are on the bench. I don't understand how you plant your feet and how your foot planting becomes part of the lift. Wade, could you explain that on the air?
This is another one of those things where, in my opinion, it becomes an individual thing. What I found when people have that tendency to, when they plant their feet and the butt wants to come off the bench, a lot of times I will have them spread the feet out, make their sort of stance, so to speak, a little wider. And by doing that, you're able to push those feet into the floor and really tighten up, and your tendency is not to raise the fanny some. But that's so individual because, I don't know if you recall my bench form. I bench up on my toes, and I've got my feet pulled up under me, and
yes,
they're actually very close.
Yes, yes.
And I've tried it out wide. As a matter of fact, I was up at, Shane and Laura Sweats. Laura Phelps, at their gym, and she wanted me to try it out wide, really out wide, because she felt like with my size that it would help me. And all it did was make my legs sore, and they wanted to cave in. So, to me, it's much more an individual thing. But leg drive is crucial, and the foot placement and how you put those in play are what's going to, start from the feet is what, this person was trying to say to you. What I would suggest is that you play with the width and where they're at in relation to, are they out in front of you? Are they underneath you? And you'll have to find a happy medium where that way the butt doesn't come off the bench, because that's usually where the problem starts.
Rob, do you think it's critical that during the bench press you think that far down the line that you feel your feet, regardless of what stance you choose, as Wade just pointed out,
that you really do feel your feet anchored to the ground solidly and not necessarily just limply sitting there?
No. Matter of fact, if you're thinking anything, you should be thinking about driving your shoulder blades together and into the bench. My solution, in contrast to Wade's, Carl, is to try one of two approaches. First, do you feel better and are you stronger with your feet further out in front of you or tucked back underneath you? Personally, for me, it's tucked back underneath. I think the great, you know, upshot of all this is try all three that we're talking about. Your feet out in front of you, your feet tucked underneath you, and as Wade's speaking to, varying the width of that, maybe in both positions. Ultimately, you'll find where you're strongest.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I want to remind everybody that if you have questions for the panel, you need to send them to onair@superhumanradio.com. Do not send them to my Facebook messages because I don't check my Facebook messages very often. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to have Sean Bellin, who is a listener and a competitive athlete, on the show to add to the discussion. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best price and fastest customer service at orbitnutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit orbitnutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. orbitnutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at orbitnutrition.com. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to ironmaglabs.com today. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The trial formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizol, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizol works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains D-aspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better. Bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4
Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay, when we went into the break, actually, Rob Regish had one other thing that he wanted to contribute to the discussion, and then we will bring Sean Bellin back into the discussion with us. But something to do with the bench press, finding the optimal place to bench press. Is that what you said, Rob?
Yeah, it came to mind as we were going to break, and thanks for letting me share. I'm hoping this helps a lot of folks that I know have difficulty with their lockout. One of the things you can do to try to help figure out where that bar should end up is as follows. If you take a freestanding bench and an empty bar, just an empty barbell, hold it out at arm's length, and then you move it in an arc from a point behind your head right down to a point just above your waist, your groin. Now, at some point in that arc, the bar is going to feel virtually weightless. It is right there, in my experience, that's the perfect bar position for your lockout, and it just leads to, if you can build that into your routine and therefore your central nervous system, it just makes the lift smooth as glass from the midpoint all the way up.
Very interesting. And it has some common sense in it. Would you agree with that, Wade, that it has a little common sense in it, finding that?
Yeah, immediately it comes to mind of a young lifter we have in the gym that I was like, when Rob said that, I was like, that is a brilliant idea. I've got to try that with him. That makes absolute sense.
Yeah, I like that sort of stuff. Oh, boy. I love when we learn new things. Anyway, in an effort to continue to learn new things, we have a fellow on the show that I wanted to have on the show for quite some time. He's a contributor on a lot of different forums. He is a superhuman in and of himself, Big Sean Bellin. How you doing, Sean?
Hey, I'm good, thanks.
Welcome. Sean, I found out a little while ago that you actually know Wade.
Yeah. long time ago, there was a kind of a e-digest before forums were really getting big, and I was a really dumb, ignorant, big-mouth 18-year-old that pretty much knew everything. So I guess I was like every other 18-year-old,
right,
apparently.
Right, join the club.
right. So yeah, when I talk with different guys, I'm like, oh, crap, please don't remember me. So, yeah.
Now, Wade, did you remember him as soon as you saw he was going to be on the show?
Well, Sean hit me up on Facebook. It's been some time back, and I was like, when I looked at his profile, I was like, there is no way that's this kid that I knew. The listserv is, I'm guessing, Sean, you'll have to remind me, it's been well over 10 years ago. And I remember Sean from, you know, the days of, you know, his history on the forum.
Okay. Now, Sean, from those days, you've actually focused on doing the work and competing and so on, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, give us a little snapshot. What competitions have you done in the past year or so?
I did a little bit with just local down here in Tucson. It's tough because of meets, because we're, you know, the bottom of the world, basically.
Right.
So, went down to Tombstone, and they had a USPF meet, and I just, you know, I lifted raw there just because I didn't have any gear or anything to use, and then I just liked it, so I kind of stuck with it, and then I got a chance to go to the Olympia Invitational with USPA. I was invited to lift there.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, it was a lot bigger deal than I thought. There's a stage and everything. I was just totally nervous, and Scott Cartwright was there, and we were in warm-ups, and I was like, I don't know, I feel like I'm going too fast. I'm just freaking out, and he's like, well, I get nervous too. And then I was just like, really?
You do?
Yeah, right. So, you know, this guy who's, you know, squats 1,000 pounds when he wakes up in the morning. So So it was cool. It was great experience. They let me lift raw. I almost won my class, so I was pretty excited about that. I set an American raw record for the USPA with a 750 squat, so I'm excited about that. And then I'm going to be doing Worlds at the end of November, so hoping for a 2100 total on the 275 class.
Wow, that's fantastic. Now, what is your favorite lift, Sean?
Squatting. Definitely yeah. Squatting. Yeah. First exercise I ever learned. So, yeah, definitely squatting.
Now, Wade, do you still get nervous when you compete?
The bad part for me is usually the week before, because the week of the training, you know, certainly changes, and there's some days off in there, and I'm not really good with that. I'm too idle. Usually once I start warming up, I start to get into the flow of the meet, but, you know, yes, the answer, you know, the short answer is yeah, it's still nerve-wracking because you're thinking about, I've got these goals for the meet and I can't make a mistake, and, you know, I'm a head case just like everyone else. So,
Rob, have you ever met anyone that doesn't get nervous before a meet?
No, but I have met plenty of people that don't know what to do with that energy, and it can make you or break you.
Really?
Yeah, you know, it's a lot like public speaking. Everybody's nervous. There are very few people in this world. That's the number one fear. And what I learned in college specifically, that was my major, I was terrified, as most people are, and we were taught how to take that nervous energy and use it to prepare.
You know, it's funny because I'm one of those people who doesn't know what to do with the energy, because even the days that I used to go in and train my heaviest weights, and I've shared this with you before, Wade. You know, I used to start obsessing the night before that I'm going to blow a disc, I'm going to blow a heart valve. It's like, why am I doing this to myself? And I actually would get so adrenalated that I'd actually get this washed out feeling. That I like, oh man, I don't have the strength. And I don't know, do you think that confidence begets strength, or strength begets confidence?
Wow. I mean, that's.
It's profound. I know, I'm really an intelligent guy, ain't I? I just can't lift anything. That's the only problem. If my brain can lift, Wade, I'd be really strong.
I don't know if it's so much confidence, because, I mean, you can mistake that for arrogance, and then if you don't have the preparation. So, man, that's tough. That's tough.
Let's examine that for a second, Sean. That's really a good point. There are a lot of guys out there who are profoundly strong, and they're very, very laid back and humble. And there's an equal amount of guys out there who are profoundly strong, and they're as arrogant as can be about their strength. So do you think?
I got a quick story about that.
Yeah, please.
The first world meet I lifted in was in 99, WDFPF Worlds in Omaha, Nebraska. And my main competition was Mark Schilling. And you know, this has been some time back, so, some people may not be familiar with Mark. Let me first say, Mark is a genuine badass. And, what I noticed about him, and I mistook this for arrogance, he was very relaxed, kind of walked around nonchalantly, and everything, I kept trying to do things that I thought would get into his head, you know, which unfortunately, you know, his demeanor I took as arrogance, you know, as opposed to this is a very, you know, experienced and world-class lifter. And, when I realized that after the meet was over and he handed me my ass, it changed me. The, you know, that meet is when I became a good lifter and what took me to where I am today. And what it was is I am sure as he got ready to lift the weights, there was some nervousness. But he told me after the meet, he goes, I saw you sitting over there and you made sure you had your back to me. And he goes, okay, I guess he needs that to focus, but I just really want to lift weights and have a good time and meet everybody. And I was like, this guy gets it. I still want to beat, you know, I still want to beat my opponent. Right. I, you know, I'm the guy that says I want to kick his ass. That's what I want to do.
Right.
you know, but at the end of it, you know, we're all lifters and we want to shake hands and move on and be friends. And the lesson that I learned there is that you have to be confident. You have to train yourself. I have worked and sweated and bled all this for this meet. Why, if I've done all the work, then why shouldn't I be confident? And it can be taken and mistaken for arrogance. But I think the bottom line is it doesn't matter. A lot of that is outward. It's the proverbial duck on the water where, you know, they're smooth and silky on the surface, but underneath they're paddling like hell. You know, I think that's really all of us. I think the mindset is I have to exude this confidence, even if it's mistaken for arrogance, because I want to do my best and I want to win. And if I don't believe it, then how can I achieve it?
Okay, with that, that leads to another question, and I'm going to pose this one to Rob for a second. Is there really room for genuine camaraderie and love for your opponent if you're going in there with the intentions of hurting him? And when I say hurting him, look, in the UFC you have to physically hurt somebody, but let's face it, if you beat somebody, they're trying just as hard as you. You've hurt them. You've wounded them. You've taken them down a notch, as Wade put it. You've handed them their ass. Is there really room for genuine camaraderie and consideration for the opponent, Rob?
In powerlifting, there for damn sure is. And you will, it's my opinion, one man's opinion, you'll be stronger for it. I have been at meets where that kind of camaraderie didn't just make me better. It made everybody better. And it stands in stark contrast to bodybuilding and a lot of other sports.
Okay. That takes me to a question that was actually posed. I think what we need to do, believe it or not, is I need to, because this is a 2.5 hour show, I have to take a break now. When we come back, I want to discuss the importance or the lack of there for all of you guys of spirituality and in your progression to gain greater strength. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. This is part two of an ongoing series that will happen twice a month discussing the acquisition of strength and hypertrophy with Coach Wade Johnson and Rob Regish. And we also have a listener, special guest on the show today called Sean Bellin. We'll be right back with more. You send me right round. The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, M-A-H-L-E.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wise Choice Medicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Age Force introduces the first ever nitric oxide booster plus advanced post-workout recovery formula in a two-stage transdermal pack. Stage one releases its nitric oxide boosting formula directly into the bloodstream the minute you apply it and continues to deliver a powerful nitric oxide boost during your workout. Stage two is delayed time release, so the post-recovery formula starts after your workout. Go to ageforce.com and check out the new pre and post-workout patch and get 50% off any order with the promo code SHROX. Save 50% when you use coupon code SHROX. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, melanotan 2, mechanogrowth factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like triptorelin or follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research.
research companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on The Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
And on the cool check-in, center stage on the mic, and we putting it on wax. It's the new style.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. It's a lot going on behind the scenes here. I got to tell you something. Okay. And something I should have done earlier in the show is give both Coach Wade Johnson and Rob Regish an opportunity to plug their websites. Wade, which website would you like people to go to if they want to meet with you? Well, they can actually meet with you individually, but also communicate with you, and they need some help.
There's a few places they can go. I have a Facebook page. Look me up. Hit me up. There's a forum on weightliftingdiscussion.com, and then there's also a website, johnsonstrengthgroup.com.
Okay. And, Rob, the website for people to go and get a copy of the Blueprint 2.0 or 3.0, assuming that they don't already visit superhumanradio.com and use one of the banner ads there, where would you like them to go?
You know, they can go to that bodybuildingsupplements.com website to learn more about the program. If they'd like to get in touch with me, my screen name on the forums is Mixelflick, M-I-X-E-L-F-L-I-C-K, or they can feel free to email me, rsrmusclemass@gmail.com.
There you go.
I answer any and all questions, and it'll be truthful.
Okay. All right. Now, this was actually a question that was posed from a listener. I guess they heard the discussion that I when I was talking about how I visualized my father stepping into my body when I deadlift and giving me that extra strength. I want to pose this question equally to all three of you. How big of a factor do you think is faith and or spirituality in your acquisition of strength? And I'm going to start off with our special guest, Sean Bellin.
Well, for me personally, it's important just because it's my lifting is an extension of what I believe for my faith. I mean, I'm still a tool, but I'm a Christian, and I've solidified that over the last couple of years, my wife and I both. So the biggest thing that's made an impact on me was the verse Romans 12:1-2, and it says to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And so when I train, for me, you know, I'm not very animated. I'm kind of quiet. You know, I let the weights clang and do their thing, but it's always kind of saying, you know, I'm so blessed. I'm so thankful for what God's given me, the opportunities, just my life. I'm going to give it all that I have within this, you know, whether I'm cleaning the kitchen, you know, just I try to make an extension, period. So, yeah, my spirituality is actually what really amplifies my ability as a lifter, I believe. I think otherwise I would just be average, and I don't think I would have that passion, maybe that little edge
that some of the other guys don't because of my faith.
How about you, Rob?
You know, I can't honestly tell you that I bring faith per se into the gym with me. What I can tell you is, with respect to arrogance and confidence, I think, Wade, you had mentioned this earlier, a lot of people mistake us as arrogant when, in fact, I try to explain, folks, when you've got 4, 5, 6, or in Wade's case, 1,000 pounds on your back, you better be confident when you start to go down with that weight. If there is a shadow of a doubt in your mind, you're going to miss it and or get severely injured. So it's not necessarily arrogance. It's confidence. I don't know if it comes from spirituality, but I will tell you this. Even if you've squatted 1,000 pounds, and you can hear this in Wade's voice, lifting teaches you that there are two types of people in the world, those that are humble and those that are about to be humble. And you can squat 1,040, which I think you've done, Wade, but 1,140 will humble you quickly.
Yeah.
It'll humble me a lot quicker than it will Wade.
That's for sure. Wade, how about you, Wade? How important is spirituality and faith to you in the acquisition of strength?
Well, for me, it's everything. It's one of those things where, again, my thinking is a lot more basic than the rest of you guys. But it's about, I am very fortunate. I'm not going to make any bones about it. To start in a sport like this later in life and to have been able to do so well is certainly indicative of being blessed, you know, beyond what I deserve. But I think that's twofold too, is not, I took that blessing and I ran with it. And I'm not unlike Sean, where I know where these gifts come from, you know, and I get that and I acknowledge that in the fact that I try to give as much back as I can. And as far as the strength, I think it's one of those things where it's like, I've been blessed with a talent, with an ability to do something that I think, you know, is extraordinary, and so do other people. So it really behooves me to not abuse that talent or to not make the most of it and to be the best that I can be. And I think that's what people will find with me in the gym, on the show, online, you know, or at a meet, you know, that I truly, you know, feel blessed, and I want the people to feel, you know, that I come in contact with to feel that blessing, to share that blessing as well.
Okay. All right. Next question for the panel. There's a lot of discussion about drug-free athletes today. And drug-free athletes to me means not using any drug, regardless of whether it is currently available over-the-counter, or falls into a gray class like peptides, which don't directly affect strength necessarily, but do absolutely affect muscle growth and recovery. I'm going to turn this one first to you, Wade, because you're a staunch proponent of drug-free progress. What do you think about an athlete who says, look, I'm not injecting Trenbolone, but I am using a little Superdrol. Is he still drug-free?
Well, I think anytime you start altering hormones is when, you know, the question is going to arise. And I see this debate all the time on forums about, you know, there's not really any drug-free athletes out there. They're just drug-tested. And you know, I tend to disagree with that. If you're taking things that are going to, I think you first got to define, you know, what we consider drug-free. And I think in sports, that's, you know, taking something that is on the illegal banned, you know, list substance. And and I'm fine with that. That's you know, I don't have a really gray area there. But if you're eating a certain way, you can, you know, you can change the way your hormones are just by how you eat. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Right.
So I'm you know, I don't think that, I think if a guy is taking an over-counter substance that, you know, then he's still drug free. I mean, it's one of those things where unless he's taking some type of agent that is going to be anabolic, truly anabolic, you know, and on the list of banned substances, then he's drug free.
Okay. How about you, Sean? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, not to plug my sponsor, but I work with MHP, and I would agree. I mean, if it's over the counter, I'm fine with that. And, I think it's just important to make sure that you know where you're lifting at, and, for some of the guys, unfortunately, they do get into meets that are allegedly, and ones that I've went to that, you peed for them, but I doubt that it was actually tested. So, it's just put yourself in the right federation that's going to meet your goals and go along with that. Make sure you follow the rules. I mean, the biggest thing I've always hated is hearing about guys or posts, and I'm sure Wade and Rob have seen those where people are asking, how do I pass a drug test for this and that? And I'm thinking, you follow the guidelines and you don't use substances that are illegal. So, that's where it is for me. I think you need to have integrity and morality about, what you're doing and where you're competing. I don't think otherwise that's fair.
Okay. Do you think peptides are valuable to an athlete? These are kind of in a gray area. They're not. I'm not talking about growth hormone. I'm talking about things like IGF-1, DES, or long R3, or mechanical growth factors. Wade, I got a feeling that I'm going to throw this question to you last, because I don't even know if you pay attention to these sort of exotic peptides that guys like I use who can't lift anything. Maybe that's the problem. But anyway, I'm going to start with Sean. Sean, what do you think about peptides? You think those types of things are a gray area, since they're not really able to even test for them, that athletes should be able to use them and not be considered using drugs?
I do not know that much about this stuff. That has been something that I've just been like, really? Okay. I'm not really sure. It sounds sketchy. From what I've heard, as far as the, I guess if you want to put, quote, legality of competing somewhere with that, but, I don't really know enough about it, so, I'll leave it at that. I'm going to plead ignorance.
Okay, how about you, Rob? Do you have any opinions on it?
I do. Having said that, I haven't used them, but it's my job to know a little bit about everything, because I have people asking me about it all over the world. So my opinion, Carl, is this. Peptides, based upon what I know and what I've read and what I've, conversations I've had with people, I don't think that they make as big a difference or a big enough difference, rather, to be considered as, quote-unquote, a doping agent. I don't see the kind of, it doesn't make up for the host of dietary and training sins that, say, androgens will, at least based on the feedback I've seen.
Okay. And Wade, have you even paid attention to peptides?
No, but I what reading I've done, I agree wholeheartedly with Rob. But generally for me, it's like, well, if I go to a restaurant, it's like, well, I'm training squat tomorrow. Do I go with the 16-ounce ribeye, or do I go ahead and go with the 20? Yeah.
Bob Evans gravy is probably Wade's peptide.
It's funny. When I was thinking about whether Wade pays attention to the peptides, I was thinking, well, probably if it was in steak sauce, he'd know what it is, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I have no – I've read about those things, and it's like, well, this – for me, it's one of those things, like, if I start traveling into that gray area, or what is deemed a gray area, then, where does that take me? And for me, it's just something, now if a guy takes zinc, he's going to boost his testosterone, so now do we outlaw zinc? That's where I think, it's like the banning ephedra or some, at some point, hey, they're athletes. It's not like we're sitting, at the breakfast table drinking coffee and, these people are trying to perform at the highest of the high level. If I have to worry about, ephedra being the edge, are you kidding me? So I think there's a point of ridiculousness. It's either going to be an androgenic anabolic substance or it's not. You can get as gray as you want to, but ultimately I'm the mind. Is it? Yes. Is it not? No. And so that's kind of where I fall with it.
Okay, let's do this. We're going to take our last commercial break in this particular segment. When we come back, we're going to talk about a probably pretty much unknown lift, unknown to me until Wade Johnson pointed it out to me, and that is the ox lift. And this may be the one that will actually help you build. I have a feeling it could build your squat and your deadlift at the same time. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power block, the world's best dumbbell.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com. The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MaHLER.com.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking about the acquisition of strength with some guys who know how to be strong. I had to lower that song because I didn't realize that's an inappropriate song for this show. There you go. Let's just leave it at that. How do these songs get in my library? I keep pulling them out, and somebody keeps putting them in. I must have a gremlin that comes in here into the studio at night.
That's probably another show, my friend.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, okay, so we're going to finish up the show talking about a unique lift, and then later in the show, at 1 o'clock local time, we're going to have two young ladies on. Their names, by the way, I keep missing to mention: Lauren Farmier and Robin Gammon, who have published a study that shows that living a farm-to-table lifestyle may actually have greater benefits than just supporting your local farmer. Okay, Wade, the ox lift, it sounds intense. What is it?
Basically, and I assume that's the name of the lift. I honestly, that's just what I found on the internet. I read about it. A friend of mine, Brandon Lilly, who is a really, really good lifter, from Kentucky, and he trains at Lexan. The Lexan gym has trained at Westside and trains currently with Chuck Vogelpohl. And Chuck does this, what they call this squat deadlift. And what it is you set up with the safety squat bar on your shoulders as if you were going to squat, and then you deadlift a weight. So you have weight in your hands, and then you also have weight on the safety squat bar.
And there's actually a video of it on YouTube that Wade has sent to me that I'm going to post in my blog right after the show is over, so people will be able to find it there. Now, first of all, this looks like an amazingly difficult lift because the geometry and application of weight is not just in your hands, as you put it, but it's on your back. So your lower back, this is kind of like doing a good morning and a deadlift simultaneously.
Well, I honestly, where I felt the most, where my back was taking the most pressure, was actually above the lower back in the middle of the erectors.
Really?
Which I thought was really interesting. And what the lift is, what the point is how to stay as upright as you can. And I'm sure these guys that do this lift all the time, you know, would be able to tell you better than I could. But it's not one of those lifts that you're going to be extremely dynamic. The idea is to really, you know, build some strength, you know, with time under tension and really focus on form. And that's what I found. The first time I did it, I just had the safety squat bar on my back. I have spotters, and I urge you. You'll see on one of the YouTube videos that these guys don't have spotters. But if you have access to spotters, by all means, have them. I can't stress that enough. But I set up in the monolift, and I have a safety squat bar, and I use a shorty bar, like a 25-pound short Olympic bar, so it fits in the base of the monolift. And I just had the bar on my back, and I had a pair of plates on the shorty, and I came up so fast that the safety squat bar just left my shoulders.
That's what I would be worried about with this. It looks like it actually trains you for people who have poor form in the deadlift, that they round out their back. Just having that bar on your back forces you, and trying to balance it as you deadlift, forces you to deadlift correctly, I think.
Well, it's one of those things where it's going to teach you more leverage of the lift. We always strive for better form, but I've seen guys with horrible deadlift form that can pull a pile of weight. So it's one of those things, we're going to strengthen an area, and it's going to make you, at least, you're not going to round so bad. The idea is that you stay more erect through the lift.
Sean, are you familiar with this lift that we're talking about?
Yeah, as of about 2 minutes ago.
Okay, so you went and looked at it, in other words.
Yeah, what I saw was most of the guys, Wade, correct me if I'm wrong, it looks like they're all doing sumo when they pull as well, so I was kind of looking at that. I pull conventional, so I'm kind of thinking,
all right,
try
that. Well, I will take video. I pull in the morning, and I will take video. I'm training raw right now, and the last couple of meets, I've pulled sumo. But all the times I've lifted raw, I've always pulled conventional, and I trained it conventionally. So I'll make sure that I'm going to take some video from the front and from the side, so you kind of get an idea of what I'm doing with the lift.
Obviously, I have one of those safety squat bars at my gym, but I don't know if it's what is it called, cambered, when it drops down like that. Is that
yes.
Okay, I don't know if the one that I have at my gym is cambered, actually, so I'm going to have to see. But it has to be a cambered bar to give you the right geometry, too, so that you don't just throw the bar off your back, correct?
Well, it's not a cambered squat bar. It is a safety squat bar with the pads. And you'll see in one of the videos, and when I posted on one of the forums that I had tried it, there was a poster that posted on there. They use the mini bands not to add tension, you know.
To keep a tendon on your back.
They use the mini bands that helps keep it on the back because these guys are training by themselves.
Yeah, and have you seen the lift, Rob Regish?
I haven't seen it yet, but I'm familiar with, you know, similar type lifts. And really, if you know, this gives rise to a relevant point. If you study the record breakers in our sport or any sport, many of them took a different road. Why? Well, they took that road in part because the established road gave established results, and results that were up until that point attainable. If you want to achieve something new, something extraordinary, it's things like this, the ox lift and other quote-unquote unorthodox solutions that need to be pursued.
What about that, Wade? Is that really the point here when you look at some of these lifts? I mean, when you look at guys like Louis Simmons. You know, he was the reverse hyper and all these other shoulder. He has those bars where you grapple with them, and it's like, is that really the difference between eking out that extra 2, 3, 4, 5% of strength, stepping out and using your body somehow differently to hit those muscle groups in a totally different way?
Well, I think, like with using Louis as an example, it brings the point home even harder. It's addressing, you know, whatever is weak or what is lacking. And, you know, I'm a big proponent of, if you want to squat big, how do you train? Well, I squat, you know, but by the same token, when you go to do your assistance and when you select it, it's what do I need to address? You know, what is it that I need to, you know, aside from my form and making sure that my form, style, and technique, which is a quote from Ricky Dale Crane, but aside from those, how do I address things in my training that fix issues, that keeps what is strong strong, but fixes my weak points?
Now, Sean, do you do moves like the Good Mornings?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's actually my favorite exercise other than squatting.
Okay, so how heavy do you train in the Good Mornings?
A lot.
Well,
I've done 615 for a triple.
Wow, that's really impressive. That is. You know, the Good Morning was an obscure movement 5, 7, 8 years ago and has become much more popular over the years because people are seeing people doing them and realizing that this is a good way to build strength, that you're not getting the same recruitment in the deadlift or in the squat. So would you say, Wade, that it's important that people look at the ox lift? You know, when I look at the ox lift, I go, man, this is cumbersome. It's awkward. But then again, I said the same thing about the deadlift 10 years ago.
Well, I think what you've got to do is look at something and see if it's something that you want to try. I think you got to even look past all this. I think when you decide that you want to do something beyond just I'm going to work out in the gym and try to be fit and maybe look and feel better, that you go out and you find someone that is experienced, you know, that will help you. I would never, even though I see these guys on YouTube and I admire them and applaud their effort, I'd never try this lift on my own. It's awkward and it's, and like you said, it's cumbersome. And then there's an element of danger. And one of the things that Ricky Dale Crane and I have discussed before, you know, when you select exercises, there's that risk versus reward thing. And that's where for most lifters, it's like Good Mornings. You know, someone like Sean, who's obviously it's worked for and is very strong and knows how to do them. I wouldn't just turn someone loose in the gym. It's one of those, you know, exercises that there's a certain level of risk, you know, more so than some others. So understand that some of these, like the ox lift, there's a higher level of risk.
When you do the Good Mornings, Sean, when I do Good Mornings, and clearly I'm not doing Good Mornings with the kind of weight that you're doing them, but when I do Good Mornings, my upper legs, my glutes, and my back are all working. In other words, what I mean by that is when I come down into the lower position, I also bring my ass down almost like in a squat, but then I straighten back up again. Are you keeping your lower legs completely locked, and is the motion exclusively the lower back and the glutes, or are you also moving your legs as well?
No, it's impossible to use that kind of weight and keep your legs locked.
Okay.
Physics alone, you're going to fall forward. But what you would do, and you could try this on your safety squat bar just to kind of give your shoulders a break, and I do that sometimes too because, you know, the guys know that with all the squatting that you do and then heavy benching, you just get beat up. So, but, yeah, you would set up the same way, like you were kind of getting into the squat. And maybe about the first quarter of the movement, you've got that little bend in the leg.
Right.
But that's when you start to go go forward then with the torso. And basically what I'm aiming for is to where I can start to see about the back of my traps, and then I'm coming back up. And then that's when I'm kind of in the same way you finish off a deadlift where you're driving your hips forward, and then you finish locking out the leg.
Yeah, okay, so that's good. Now, Rob Regish, you have a move that you like, a lift that you like as well, which is the barbell step-ups, and I wanted to address that as well here in the last 10 minutes that we have, well, actually 7 minutes we have on the air. Tell me about the barbell step-ups and why you feel that this is such a critical movement for the acquisition of strength.
Sure. Thanks, Carl. First things first, you know, weighted good mornings are a fantastic exercise that were, for lack of a better term, rediscovered, I suppose, by Louis Simmons and his articles. But having said that, there are many people, myself included, that either can't perform it or, in my case, it's just a tad too much. You know, after you're done squatting and deadlifting and doing some other movements with vertical compression of the spine, the last thing that I want to or can do at that point is to, you know, continue to fatigue the lower back. So the solution in this case actually came out of an injury in my particular training history. And very simply, an overlooked movement from the past that was used more so overseas, but in this country many years ago, the step up, the weighted step up. In my case, I use a barbell on my back. It is about half, you can build up to, in my experience, to about half of what you can squat, but this particular move was heavily utilized by the former Soviet teams and also the Bulgarians. In the case of the record world record holder, Linoid, I think his name was Tarenko, he had a world record clean and jerk, super heavyweight, of 586 pounds. So if you can imagine this, cleaning and jerking 586 pounds to a point where it's over his head. How did he do it? Well, for the preceding 4 years, he dropped squatting entirely and focused on heavy step-ups with the barbell on his back.
So are we talking about the step-ups that we are we talking about the same step-ups that we see the fitness girls and guys doing where you have a bench and you step up with one leg and then step back down again with the other leg?
Yes, sir. Very similar. Now, there are a couple different variations on that theme, but if you have never tried this before, it is a absolutely fantastic lower body move to the point where, in my opinion, you do not need to go, you know, follow that up with leg presses and God knows leg extensions and leg curls or any other type of leg movement. Depending on the height of that step, you can accentuate your weakness, whether that be the hamstring or the quadricep. And it's also a hell of a cardiovascular workout. I would just ask that everybody listening, if you're looking to shake things up, look into the weighted step up. I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised.
Okay. Have you ever done step ups, Wade?
Oh, early on. I'm a lot like Rob in the fact that usually how I set up my assistants, and I'll make this as brief as I can, I'll do my competition squat training, and then I'll do various different types of squats so I keep it multi-joint and I don't beat up, you know, my lower back anymore, because I do strongman stuff in Olympic lifting, you know, severely overtrained all the time. And,
right.
You know, so it's one of those things where I try to pay a little extra attention. But I have done them in the past, and with good results, but I've never tried it since then. So I may actually try those tomorrow too.
Isn't it fun because you have a discussion like this? Like, you know, I used to do those. Maybe I should start doing them again. How about you, Sean? You ever do step-ups?
Yes. Very good. I don't go that high because I'm scared to death that I'm going to fall. But, yeah, we with box squatting, we'll do stuff like that and maybe throw in, like, some plyometrics here and there. But step-ups are really, really great. And, Rob, do you recommend using a barbell or would you rather just a dumbbell or does it just depend on the person?
You know, dumbbells are easier because they're lighter, and it keeps the load beneath the waist. However, I, you know, in my experience, people graduate pretty quickly, can graduate pretty quickly to the barbell, and you needn't necessarily step up onto a high bench. Doing that will accentuate more of the hamstring, the glutes, and so forth. A lower step or a lower bench will accentuate the quadricep, and it really highlights not only, you know, your coordination and all those muscle groups firing in sync, but if you ever had a doubt how important your ab strength is, this movement will teach you just how important it is, and you know, kind of force you to do what I was talking about in the last program. Keep those abs strong. Make, you know, everything should revolve around keeping the abs and the core, making that stronger than it was yesterday, because that move will teach you that in short order.
Okay, last 4 minutes here. Louis Simmons is a huge proponent of you are only as strong as your weakest link. Mike Boyle was on my show several times last year, and we talked about the importance of doing single leg work, because when you do double leg work, the hip girdle does a lot more than you think it does. And this is evidenced in something as simple as the 45-degree leg press. Doing them with one leg does not allow you to use 50% of the weight that you can use with two legs. Wade, I'm going to go to you first, real quick. How important is single leg work?
To me, it's not at all. I just don't do it. It's one of those things where, for my training, that's just something in addition. It may very well be. I don't want to discount, you know, what is working for someone else, but for me, there would be not enough time nor the amount of energy required for me to squat big. That's just what it comes down for me.
Okay. Sean Bellin, how about you? Do you do any single leg work?
You know, I used to when I first started out, but honestly, I think at this point, I'm at the level that it's just not necessary for my goals. So I kind of I feel like Mike might be taking it out of context just a little bit. Really, it should be much more individualized. Although the step-ups, I guess you could call that
single leg.
But other than that, no.
Okay, and Rob, it's safe to say that you believe in single leg work, correct?
I do. And by the way, you know, I just discovered the merits of this recently, and it's a beautiful way to just kind of bring forth what is weak. And you've heard Louis say this before, and it's true. You make what's weak stronger, you're going to get a lot stronger, and this will show you what's weak.
Okay. All right, listen, I just want to let you guys plug before we go off the air. Wade, go ahead and plug your websites again and tell people how they can reach out to you.
Reach me on Yahoo, supersquat800@yahoo.com. The websites are weightliftingdiscussion.com, johnsonstrengthgroup.com, and you can find me on Facebook.
Wade, when are you going to change your email address to supersquat1003?
You know, a lot of people have asked me that. I've had that email for so long, and I have a Gmail account that I think is supersquat1000 that I just never check, and I guess I should, but I've had that email long before, you know, I squatted 800, so I guess I just stick with it.
Okay, Wade, Rob, please plug your website.
Sure. To get your hands on the blueprint, simply go to bodybuildingsupplements.com. If you have questions, I'll be more than happy to entertain them. My screen name on bodybuilding.com and Anabolic Minds is Mixelflick, and there's a picture of me there with my son, Nicholas Maximus. Or you can email me at rsrmusclemass@gmail.com.
Now, Sean, do you have anything you want to plug?
Sure. My blog kind of website where I talk about my training and stuff is bodybuildstrengthtrainingsystems.com. You can find me on Facebook as well. Just Sean Bellon, Bellon. That's it.
I'm sorry for mispronouncing your name, by the way.
I'm on the forum, too.
Yeah.
Pardon?
I said I'm sorry for mispronouncing your name. I pronounced it
Bellon. No, you're fine, sir. Don't worry about it.
Okay. All right. Listen, thanks for making time to come on the show. Wade, I know you're backed up at work. You need to go do your thing. And Rob Regish, thank you for being on Superhuman Radio today. And we will continue this discussion in 2 weeks with another installment of the acquisition of strength and conditioning. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
You made her catch you? Alright, honey, give me that, you got me red and it's creepy with the girl next door. Picture this, we were.
I'm all butt naked, banging on the bathroom door. How could I forget that I had given her an extra key? All this time she was standing there, she never took her eyes off me.
Oh, you pretty girl, man, I say so you feel her. Just a son of it is all you clean on your pillar. You better watch your mouth before she turn into a killer. Listen to the situation that you call the winner. To be a true player, you have to know how to play. If she say a night, convince her say a day. Never admit to a word what she say. And if she claim a youth, tell her baby, no way.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age 4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You know, we've been talking on this show about ancestral diets forever. We've been talking about supporting your local farmer. You don't have to worry about 22 states getting hit with E. coli when you buy from your local sourced small family farms. My next two guests, Robin Gammon and I don't want to mispronounce the name. It's Lauren Farmeyer. There you go. See, I told you the phonetics works. Have done some research into this, and there are obviously greater benefits than just supporting local farmers when you eat farm to table. How are you two doing?
We're doing great.
Yeah, we're doing great. Thanks for having us.
Now, tell me about your research, first of all. Why did you even do this? Well, let's start with Robin. Good. Why did you do this research?
Well, in terms of research, it's not really hard research per se. It's just good knowledge and information about, you know, visiting your local farmer and going to the farmer's market and the importance of eating fresh fruits and vegetables for your health. And so we put together some tips on the importance of eating fruits and vegetables and going to the farmer's market for your health. And it was published in an article. And so
where was it published?
Well, it's actually, we're with University of Missouri Extension, and it was published by the News Bureau, and several organizations have picked up the article, and so it's been in different places.
Have you gotten any, and I'll post this to Lauren, have you gotten any negative feedback? Because it's clear to me that that it's important to eat locally sourced foods for a variety of reasons. However, we don't hear a lot of discussion about this from the mainstream, and I suspect that it's because it's contrary to the current business models of larger companies who don't want you to go to your farmer's market because they want you to go to the grocery store and buy the produce that's there. Have you gotten any negative feedback at all from this article?
You know, we really haven't gotten any negative feedback. You know, the one thing, obviously, sourcing locally from your locally grown farmers or your local farmers that are growing in your area, you know, it helps support the local economy, and it puts a face with the food that you're eating. However, it is about creating, you know, choice in the marketplace. And I think that that's one of the things that I think it's important to keep in mind when you're shopping for your family is it's all about choice. And, you know, agriculture in general, I think, needs to be supported, that there's never really necessarily a right or a wrong. It's just more about supporting those that are, you know, feeding your family on a regular basis.
I attended locally here a couple weeks ago in Louisville, Kentucky. We had the Idea Fest. And I attended one of the lectures there was discussing the importance of locally sourced foods. So we had a variety of people who led this lecture. Mm-hmm. And the majority of them were either from cooperatives and or from farms. And mm-hmm. the entire discussion focused around how this benefits the local community and the local economy and the local farmers. And after listening to this 1 hour lecture, they took questions. And so I stood up and I said, you know, I've listened to your reasoning for why it's good, you know, to buy locally, but none of that is going to motivate the early adopters. We're here. The early adopters who already know and we already believe we're already buying locally. We're here at this meeting. How are you going to enlist the other 90% of the population, if you don't explain what the benefits to them are? People, the majority of people don't care about the local farmer, the local economy, or anything else. Just look at the choices they make now. That's evidence of it. So you really need to try to appeal to the average person and say, look, this is why you selfishly need to buy locally sourced foods. Have you found any truth to what I just said? And whoever wants to answer that, just jump in.
Robin, if you don't mind, I'll take this, and if you have some thoughts too, go for it. Okay, I think that what it boils down to a lot in the local foods movement is just about education itself about where food actually comes from. If there's one thing that I have found, no matter if you are eating cheeseburgers from a fast food restaurant or you're buying, you know, fresh cantaloupe from a local grocery store, people are very passionate about their food.
Yes.
And, you know, like I said, yes, the people that know about local food sources now, obviously, yes, they're supporting it. You know, there are so many farmers markets sprouting up that, you know, it's going to, I think, almost going to become a concern of if there are too many farmers markets and the it's becoming saturated, if you want to know the truth. But you know, I think that the people in general, they do care, but we need to focus on educating the growers themselves and how that they can become better marketers for what they're doing on a regular basis. And then on the other hand, educate the folks that are going to the grocery stores or going to the farmers markets or supporting their local schools with a farm-to-school movement about where the food comes from, what it takes to actually grow it, and the nutritional value of just eating fresh food in general.
Okay. Here's what I want to do. I want to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about the special needs of farmers. I've learned for the first time, and I didn't understand this, and that's why I'm glad I went to this particular lecture, what the real challenges on the farm side is to supply us with these wonderful products. We're talking today with, we're talking today with Lauren Farmeyer and Robin Gammon about the importance of farm-to-table sourcing. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company. You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains D-aspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better. Bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse. CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today. 6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to, is 6-oxoprogesterone. 6-oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Yeah! Throw your hands in the air, baby!
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Just want to remind everybody that Age Force's new creatine beta-alanine patch is 50% off to my listeners. Go to superhumanradio.com, click the banner ad, and use the coupon code CB50 to get the greatest ergogenic transdermal patch to ever come out of Age Force's product line. Okay, we're talking with Robin Gammon and Lauren Farmeyer about the importance of adhering to locally sourced foods. We know that it's good for the economy. We're going to talk more about why it's good for us. But before we get into that, something that I learned, Lauren, when I was at the lecture, was that farmers have a hard time with this new business model, because farmers are used to growing a crop that they know, assuming that the crop comes in properly and isn't destroyed by weather or other conditions, they have someone to sell it to. But with this new business model, they could grow a crop of squash and no one at the farmer's market buys it. So this CSA model seems to be a better model, because people basically make a commitment to the farmer that I will buy X amount of this and X amount of that. Any comments about this?
You know, CSAs, I have a personal background with produce farming and CSAs and things like that. And one of the cool things about CSAs is, and I mentioned at the beginning of the interview that it's about public knowledge and education, and it's about educating the customers about the goods that they're receiving, because you know, Robin and I live here in Missouri, and so obviously we're not going to get, you know, exotic, crazy things, you know, in a CSA here in Missouri. So it helps us educate about seasonality and growth patterns and all of that good stuff. But, you know, CSAs are really unusual, and one of the advantages is being able to provide recipes to the customers. You know, if a customer buys something from you face to face, you know, being able to tell them how to prepare something, you know, like a spaghetti squash, or, you know, give them tips or helpful ways to use and prepare things like that. You know, that's a true value that's added, to a product like a CSA.
Yeah. And from the farmer's standpoint, the farmer knows he's not going to grow something and have to eat it himself. He's going to be able to sell it, because the CSAs generally coordinate, just like these buying clubs, if you will. The CSA coordinates and says to the farmer, if you grow, you know, we're going to absolutely take X bushels of this and X, and then they, and because they already have a commitment from the customer that we're going to take, basically in a CSA environment, you agree to buy a box, a bag, or whatever, every single so often of whatever they deliver to you. So, and also expands your horizons, because now most of us, what do we buy? We buy what we know. How do you expand your horizons? The CSA helps you expand your horizons. All of a sudden you get a vegetable you've never had before. You go, wow, I really love this.
Right. And that's, you know, like I said, that's one of the definite benefits of something like a CSA, because it does kind of force you to think outside of the box, you know, because you know, if you go to the grocery store, you know, or your farmer's market with your family, you know, you're typically going to pick up tomatoes, peppers.
Right.
You have your staples that, you know, fortunately across the United States we're able to grow in, you know, pretty much mass quantity even here in Missouri. But, you know, if you look at things like butternut squash or spaghetti squash, sweet potatoes, you know, things like that, you know, being able to provide some helpful information for families. You know, we have found in many different types of markets and settings, and in some of the schools that a farm-to-school program exists, that, you know, they would get things like squash or sweet potatoes and say, oh my gosh, these kids are never going to eat it, but then it turns around and it becomes one of the favorite things on the menu.
Right.
So.
Right. Robin, what I'd like to ask you about is now we're talking about, you know, farm to school. I understand the notion of farm to school from the standpoint of let's get these kids a better lunch. And I applaud that. But I think in order for us to really make inroads with the general population to get them into the religion of buying locally sourced foods, we have to get to the moms. Do you see a crossover when the children learn about the farm to school initiative? Do they go home and say to their mothers, because that's who's spending the money, let's face it, in the average household, do they say to their moms, hey mom, I want to go to the farmer's market?
Actually Actually, they do, and that's one of the great things about educating the kids and giving them the choice to try new foods that they may have not have tried at home. And it's actually surprising to some people that we see that added benefit, that they'll try it at school, and then they'll go home and talk to their parents about it and actually request it. And that's one another thing that we actually suggest is having your kids come with you to the farmer's market, or if you can't go to the farmer's market, having them go to the grocery store and really making it a family experience, shopping and tasting new foods. And if you really get the kids involved, you'll actually be surprised at, you know, sometimes what they like and what they don't like. So that's one thing that we try to tell parents again and again is to, you know, listen to your kids. And, you know, maybe you don't like Brussels sprouts, but if they tried them at school and they like them, you know, try it out at home.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, going back to Lauren for a second, since we were talking about the CSA, and you're and you know about CSAs already, quite often the problem that most families and most moms will say is, look, I'm already so busy. I work a job, and then I have to come home and cook food. And it's just not practical for me to go to the farmer's market, because the farmer's market is always at the church parking lot over there. I've got to go all the way over there. It's only available Saturday morning. This doesn't fit into my routine. The CSAs quite often have drop-off points to make it even more convenient, don't they?
Yes, they do. That's one of the cool things about CSAs. Is that literally it's like a delivery service. So instead of ordering pizza, you, I guess, essentially on a weekly basis, just get a weekly delivery of fresh, in-season, locally grown fruits and vegetables. So it does help, you know, save the working parents, you know, a few steps here and there, that's for sure.
Yeah. Now,
another kind of benefit of the CSA is that it kind of benefits both parties, the consumer, because they get to eat the fresh fruits and vegetables, and you know, since they're in season and since they're a little bit more fresh than what you can get at grocery store, they often taste better. So it benefits the consumer and it benefits the farmer, because the consumer is actually kind of almost buying a stock in the farmer produce, because you know, if something happens to the crop due to weather or whatever, the consumer is still invested just as much, well, not just as much, but is invested in part of that that crop for the year. And so that's kind of, it benefits both the consumer and the farmer. So the farmer doesn't have to take on all that risk for themselves.
Good
they have
point.
People that are part of the CSA.
Okay, now let's expand on that for a second, Robin. With that being said, basically, the farmer has a little bit more of a margin because he's not selling his crop at the lowest possible price to some large conglomerate that's going to do something else with it. He's actually selling it directly to the end user through the CSA. So it's definitely more profitable, but at the same time, it's more cumbersome for the farmer. Now, with that being said, When you have this relationship with your farmer, and your farmer is coming from a traditional growing environment, a traditional farming environment, where they're selling everything off to a large compiler or aggregator that's going to take their vegetables and do something else with them, is it hard to get these farmers to understand that we consumers don't want GMO and want organic? Can the farmers step right into that role easily?
Well, I think there's a lot of factors with that, and Lauren, feel free to step in here. But in terms of organic versus, you know, non-organic or conventional,
right?
We're with University of Missouri Extension, and we don't really endorse, you know, one agricultural process more than others.
Is that required by the school that you take that position?
I don't know if it's necessarily required, but that's just kind of what the science has really told us, that nutrient-wise, they're pretty close to being the same in terms of organic versus conventional.
Well, but so, then you have you have pesticides and you have other things to consider with organic other than the nutritional value, don't you?
Well, and yeah, there are a lot of things to consider, but we really try to make that a personal choice for.
I got you. I respect that. So basically, what you're saying is, look, we're trying to get the message out there. And we don't want to now segregate it and compartmentalize it even more, where people, we're trying to get people to get this message. We don't want to make it difficult where they turn their head right away and go, oh, wait a minute, I have to make these choices as well.
Yeah, right. Exactly. The key message is the importance of eating fruits and vegetables. And so that's what we are really trying to promote.
Right, but you're promoting locally sourced fruits and vegetables, not just fruits.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's important to note, because in my experience, and please, you know, Robin or Lauren, jump in here if you think I'm wrong about this, but in my experience, when you go to farmers markets and when you go to locally sourced, you generally find a greater degree of organic produce and fruit than you would, say, going into the grocery store and buying something that came from Chile. So I think that while I understand and respect your position, I think that if somebody's going to locally sourced local farmers, they're going to find a better quality fruit and vegetable, period, end of story. So
I agree. You know, I think that yes, I mean, obviously, you know, you're going to get a fresher product in result by buying from a local farmer. I think that Robin and I will both agree on that.
Yes.
But the thing is that farmers as a whole, we can't control what farmers in Mexico or Chile or China or whatever, you know, wherever other sources of our fruits and vegetables come from. But you know, I can say with pretty sturdy confidence that a lot of the growers of fruits and vegetables that are in the United States, these are at least started out as family farm operations.
Right.
Okay. And therefore, if it doesn't matter if you are buying beef, pork, fresh produce, anything that is an agricultural commodity, these are people that are actually having to feed their family on a regular basis, every year, day in, day out. They don't get days off. They don't get weekends off. So I think the true take-home message is the fact that they are probably not going to feed their family something that they aren't going to feed their customers.
Right.
Well,
right.
Because
they're not going to grow two separate crops. They're not going to grow a crop
absolutely.
To feed the family and a crop to feed the
absolutely.
Right.
So they are feeding their families, and there are a lot of producers that, you know, even, you know, like in the summer months, in the fall and the spring, when, you know, when produce is available, and even if they have livestock, you know, they truly eat off the land. And so that's one of the valuable things about buying local, is that these people already have a relationship with their food, okay? And the relationship with the food that they eat is going to be the same relationship as the food that they are going to sell to you.
Right. I want to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about seasonality. Is it a deficit or a benefit? I actually have an opinion about that. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back with more.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to try them today.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market.
Starting at just $149 a pair, Power Blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with Power Blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on The Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Now this one's the kids to the girl with the angel face and the devil art. It was a ragamuffin chaka, they must have new top players come feel the keys. Step up my own, hear this.
I know this little girl, her name is Maxine. Her beauty's like a bunch of rose. If I ever tell you about Maxine, you oughta say I don't know what I know.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We got a great Casual Friday planned for you tomorrow. Lisa Profumo has got a bunch of things that I'm going to be ranting about. Did you know that knee replacement surgery is up over 100% in the past 2 years and estimated to go up by 500% by the year 2030? Isn't that interesting that at the same time, 50% of the population in the United States is supposed to be obese by the year 2030? Boy, don't get me started. I'm going to save it for tomorrow. Okay. I'm talking at this time with Robin Gammon and Lauren Farmeyer about the importance of locally sourced foods, supporting your local farmer. And a lot of people look at farmers markets and get disappointed because they go, oh, strawberries are out of season. I'll just go to my grocery store and buy them. Now, before I give my opinion, I want to ask, let's go ahead and go to Lauren for this answer. What do you think about seasonality? Is it a deficit or a benefit?
I see both sides of it. I think that eating things, I mean, keep in mind, we live in Missouri.
Right.
So we have definite seasons.
Right.
Here, you know. I think that it's really important to try to take advantage of things that are in season in your local area. As far as you mentioned strawberries. You know, strawberries are in season here in May to June. And, purchasing those local berries, yeah, there's a taste difference. But I also know that, you know, when you want fresh fruit and you love strawberries, so, you know, if strawberries are your kid's favorite fruit, I think that it's okay to have that choice to go to your grocery store and buy those products too. But that's just my opinion.
Robin, do you have an opinion about seasonality? Do you think that it's a benefit or a deficit to the local trade?
Well, I pretty much agree with Lauren. I think, you know, food that is in season and definitely local will take will taste so much better than, you know, a food that might have been, you know, shipped from 1,000 miles away. So there's definitely, I think people should take advantage of that and try to educate themselves on, you know, what foods are in season and when. And, you know, by going to your farmer's market, that's really, you know, helpful because you can kind of see that, okay, you know, apples are starting to apples are in season now and, you know, they'll taste really good. And so I think that, you know, it's another thing to kind of consider is cost, because when foods aren't in season, they will cost quite a bit extra.
Right.
So if you're really trying to pinch your pennies, you know, that's one thing, another benefit of trying to eat food that is in season.
And one of the tools that we have here in Missouri, there is a publication created called Seasonal and Simple. And what it is it has recipes, it has charts for each season as far as what is in season in Missouri, okay? And then to follow along with those charts, there are also recipes. And it, like I said, the book is called Seasonal and Simple, and the recipes are very easy to follow, great for families to try, you know, on a weeknight basis. And so that's a part of the thing that we're trying to do as far as public education is making resources like this available so that when, you know, when consumers are making their purchasing decisions, they actually know that, you know, that this product is actually in season right now because, you know, you want to make sure that the integrity of your local farmer's market is actually there also.
Yes, absolutely. Now, my personal opinion is this on seasonality. There's a benefit to following the seasonal foods that are available. If you look at books by well-known paleo nutrition experts like Dr. Lauren Cordain and even Rob Wolf with the Paleo Solution, wildly popular book, and if you look at those who follow ancestral diets, we should embrace seasonality. Having foods available all year long is not necessarily a benefit. It's not necessarily good. We understand the relationship between overabundances of foods and the developments of certain types of allergies. And also, more importantly, in order to deliver a tomato in the middle of winter, quite often that tomato is picked in another country, stored in the belly of a ship, surrounded by gases that keep it from ripening until it arrives here, and then surrounded by gases that force it to ripen faster. What you end up with is a hollow example of what a tomato should be nutritionally and taste-wise. I say embrace seasonality because it's good for your genetics. Go to the farmer's market and see what's in season. Buy what's in season. If tomato, if a strawberry is not in season, okay, if you're entertaining and you want to make strawberry shortcake for the kids, sure, go to the grocery store and buy strawberries. But if they're not in season, find something that is. That'll help you expand your horizons on what you eat, and that'll give you a greater variety. We were never designed to have certain things all year long. If you truly subscribe to paleo-style eating, ancestral diets, then eat seasonally and embrace seasonality. Don't go, oh, I'm not going to go to the farmer's market because they don't have strawberries. I'm going to go to Kroger's and get them. That's
sure.
My opinion.
Well, I mean, I can understand your perspective. The thing is that farmers markets here in Missouri, they run from late March to the end of October. Okay? After that, our farmers markets are over. All right? Therefore, like I mentioned too, Missouri has four seasons. It gets really, really cold here in the winter. And for me, it's about sustainability. And to me, sustainability is about feeding the masses. And I don't know exactly what I would necessarily feed my family through the winter, you know, if I just solely had to depend on eating some type of winter crop.
Well, but you don't eat winter crops. I have a farmer that I do business with. He's a Mennonite farmer. Uh-huh. I buy my chicken. I just ordered my turkey for Thanksgiving. It'll actually be processed the day before I pick it up.
Sure.
I buy my eggs from him. I buy my raw unpasteurized milk from him. I buy my vegetables from him. I buy my fruit from him. So, for instance, if there are certain fruits and vegetables that aren't available during the winter, our Paleolithic ancestors survived predominantly on animal proteins and animal fats. Now, I have to say with one caveat, and I'm saying this actually for your benefit because my audience knows where I'm going already, I am a huge proponent of grass-fed, hormone-free beef and naturally raised chickens and naturally raised swine so that we're eating animals that have anti-inflammatory fats, higher in omega-3s and conjugated linoleic acid than omega-6s. These are the way nature intended these animals to live, and they are beneficial. So in the winter months, for instance, I don't get milk all year long from my farmer because during the coldest months, the cows produce just enough milk to feed the babies. They don't produce enough milk for him to sell. So he'll tell me, hey, the next 2 months, we're dry. So guess what? The way I look at that is, oh, I don't say to myself, oh, I don't have any milk now. I'm going to go. No, I say, oh, my Paleolithic ancestors probably didn't have milk in these months, too. This is probably a good thing for me to take some time off.
Right.
So now, granted, your message is different. You want people to keep consuming the vegetables and fruits. So my message is slightly more of a zealot type message than yours.
That's sure. And the other thing too is the vast audience that we're trying to reach, which I think is the American consumer as a whole. We have to look at feeding, maybe students that live in an inner city. Okay, that maybe the best meal that they get is at school during the day. They aren't fortunate enough to have the kind of resources that maybe you are. And so we have to look at it in a way, and like I mentioned, sustainability is about feeding the masses. And if we can't feed our current population, which we don't, how is that sustainable living?
Okay. Now, how do schools and farmers connect?
Well, we have lots of different ways. I'm the coordinator of the Missouri Farm to School program, and so there's lots of ways to do that. I answer several phone calls on a weekly basis. We have a marketing and media campaign going right now about connecting local farmers to their schools, and we're also working on building essentially kind of like a matchmaking database for the state of Missouri. So a school district could enter in a query for a farmer, and the farmer would then have their information on this site as well, and then that would hopefully connect and help them build a relationship for them to start getting some more local foods into schools.
Sure, gotcha. Okay, look, we're going to take our last commercial break, and when we come back, I want to just summarize the discussion and round it up. We're talking this hour with Robin Gammon and Lauren Farmeyer about the importance of farm-to-table, farm-to-school approaches, helping local sustained farmers. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SH Radio. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800 800-
1-800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the AgeForce Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AgeForce.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels, but most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MahLer.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay, so we're going to summarize here. The bottom line, your message, and I'm going to ask you directly, what do you want people, I'm going to give it to you first, Lauren, what do you want people to take away from your message?
The main take-home message for basic for farm to school, I mean that's really what's very important to me is the farm to school program. So, you know, for us it's about trying a little bit of local fresh produce, whether it's in home or at your school, try to promote it, get the parents involved as much as possible. Because it'll build that parental relationship with your kids also. You know, there are health benefits that included, you know, farm to school means providing fresh, flavorful foods, you know, that oftentimes they just flat out just taste better than obviously something that's been trucked halfway around the world. And then keep in mind that the economic benefits to your local farmers and your local economy, because you know, a program like Farm to School or even just supporting your local farmer, it helps to strengthen your community ties a lot because you're becoming very involved in, you know, what's happening on a regular basis, on a seasonal basis in your local community. And, you know, local is doable. You know, sometimes there's a shtick that that eating local is more expensive. You know, it's not. It doesn't necessarily have to be because, like we mentioned, we were talking about the seasonality. If you buy something that's in season, chances are there's going to be there in abundance, and it's going to be potentially a little bit less expensive.
Right, because the farmers are aggressive. They want to sell it before it goes bad.
Sure. Yeah, if you don't sell it, you smell it, right?
I like that. But, you don't sell it, you smell it. That's good.
But if you, you know, but overall, you know, the overall goal is – getting the consumer, getting students familiar with fresh food. Fresh food is first.
Yeah, I like that.
And so that's what I would say.
Robin, you have something to add to that, the message?
Yeah, I would just kind of piggybacking onto that. It's just I think it's so important to try to involve the whole family, you know, whether that be taking the kids to the farmer's market or just, you know, if you have kids, getting them involved with, you know, planning meals or preparing the meals at home and just making it a whole experience for the entire family. And if you don't have kids, you know, just, you know, going out with friends or whatever to the farmer's market and just, you know, for us, food is a social thing, and we've kind of started to get away from that, and I think it's really important to try to bring that back as much as possible, and I think it will teach all of us some important things about developing that relationship with our food.
I'll give you a benefit. I don't go to the grocery store for anything except I don't even go to the grocery store for that anymore. I was going to say I go to the grocery store to pick up gallon jugs of water because I drink distilled water, so I go there for that. I don't really go to the grocery store for anything anymore except maybe cleaning supplies for the house. Everything else I do is from my farmer or a local farmer's market. So in the past few months when all the turkey was being recalled because people were dying from eating it, I don't pay attention to that. And more recently when some produce was being shipped in 20 different states, there were people getting not salmonella, but we talked about it on last Friday's show. I can't think
Listeria.
Of what Listeria, thank you. I don't pay attention to it. I don't pay attention to any of that stuff anymore. When I hear stories about, people are being killed by peanuts in seven states, I don't pay attention to it because you know what? Unless it comes from Jay King's farm, I don't care. Jay King is my farmer. I buy my stuff from him. He has a relationship with me. He knows that I'm going to spend X amount of dollars every single month with him on all the things that I buy. And in return, I get wholesome, locally sourced foods, and I don't have to worry about the people who just ate spinach from such and such company in Nicaragua. I don't have to worry about it. And now.
Yeah, that is a huge benefit.
Yeah. And I'll take it a step further. Let's say Jay King does make a mistake one day and something goes wrong with something. Well, maybe two dozen families will get sick. Not people in 20 states. The answer to the problems we have in this United States as it relates to food safety has nothing to do with giving the FDA and the USDA more control on farmers. It has to do with decentralization of the food. Let's have more farms and more communities again. Stop putting the farmers out of business and stop centralizing the food. That's the answer here. Decentralization. But it's going to take a while, but I think that you two girls are doing a good job because making people more aware about the importance and the benefits of locally sourced foods is the first step. There's no doubt about it. Awareness and education is the first step to anything. So I want to commend you both for what you're doing. Are you working on anything new?
October is National Farm to School Month.
That's cool.
So we're working with local schools, trying to spread the word about farm-to-school programs and things like that. So that's our big project right now.
That's very, very cool. Now, what you really need to do is take some of the I'm assuming maybe some of the students have been on farms. Have you ever been on a farm?
Myself?
Yes.
I live on a produce farm.
Okay, great. So. How about you, Robin?
Yes, I have. I actually have been to her farm.
Okay. I think that's something that people need to do. Like when we first started buying raw unpasteurized milk, this is 10 years ago, I brought my three children to the farm and we met the cows, these beautiful Jerseys, you know, and we knew their names and we took pictures of them. And then when I would bring milk home, my youngest daughter, then Sydney, knew that one of the cows' names was Sarah. And so she said, oh, that's Sarah's milk. And you know, there's such a great value to knowing where your food is coming from.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, one of the key elements with the Missouri Farm to School programs is, you know, there are educational opportunities available, like visiting local farms. And, you know, if there's certain types of produce brought into schools, you know, a picture of the farmer is posted if we're serving, you know, if they're serving their cucumbers that day or their watermelons that day. So, like I said, you know, and previously in our interview that, you know, people are very passionate about their food and where it comes from, and they want to have that relationship. So, educating the students and the kids first, I think that's really important, but as well as educating the parents. Because they're the ones that end up making the final buying decisions.
You want to educate the parents, tell them that if they start eating to a greater degree locally sourced foods, they'll get skinny. They'll lose fat. unfortunately, we're a very aesthetic world. You know, everybody wants to look in the mirror and go, you know, I'd like to lose weight. I think I'll go on Jenny Craig. Forget about Jenny Craig. Buy from your local farmer, because the stuff he grows will make you healthy, and leanness will become one of the byproducts of health.
Sure, which I totally agree with, but the thing is that we have to think about accessibility to large inner cities as well.
Well, and that's why support.
That's a huge issue within itself.
But you know what? You know what, Lauren? If more people supported their local farms, then we would have a renaissance where more people would want to farm, and there would be people who would service those areas. We had farms in the early and late 1800s close to big cities, but the decentralization of food and the buying at lowest price to market the produce and fruits away from the farmer, taking the ability for the farmer to sell directly to his customer, put a lot of farms out of business. So if you support your local farm, then there's people out there who will grow up and go, you know, I think I'll be a farmer. It seems like a decent life. I know I'll work hard, but I know I'll always be able to support my family. And look, farms are growing again. The first step is to buy local. Listen, I want to thank you both for coming on Superhuman Radio. You're doing great work. Great work.
Thank you so much
for having us.
Okay, take care. All right, so there you have it, another episode of Superhuman Radio. I also want to thank Coach Wade Johnson for coming on and talking about strength and conditioning techniques, along with Rob Regish, and of course the listener Sean Bellin, who is a very, very strong individual in and of himself. A wonderful episode. I hope you got something out of that. We'll have a very, very important Casual Friday episode for you tomorrow, so tune in then.